9 a.m. on October 3rd, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And I'm Dana Barrett.
And we've got a great show lined up for you today. This morning in the studio, we are joined by Wilson Fowray, who is president of Advanced Global Partners.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Wilson. And Minna Levine is also here with the Eco Chamber of Commerce.
Good morning, Atlanta.
I love it. Getting into the swing of it already.
Yes, I know our guests have a lot of great information to share with us, and I'm very excited about getting to know them. But first, Dana, let's go to the news.
All right, let's hit the news headlines. So we like to kind of do the halfway serious news headlines. So I got a couple things I'm just going to run through real quick before we get into the trashing the news headlines. But first of all, if you're a radio person here in Atlanta, I wonder if that's us. You may have already noticed that there were some big shakeups in the last couple of weeks. Dave FM, gone. It's now going to be a sports station, I believe, and WGST also gone. No more news talk on WGST. The last I heard, it was either going to be comedy or Latin, but I am not sure. And along those lines, Rush Limbaugh is no longer on WGST, but now on WSB. So that whole lineup has also changed. So
very interesting.
I know. Lots of stuff happening in terrestrial radio. It's a very interesting industry to be kind of following right now. And, you know, here we are on the cheaper, more, dare I say, badass sister. And, you know, we're doing what we do. Okay, moving on.
I know our listeners are quite loyal, and despite any shakeups, they're tuning in regularly to the show.
That's right, and I did say badass for a reason. I said it because we can say that on internet radio, and so I just wanted to do it for funsies.
Well, play with our strengths.
That's right. Okay, moving on. I love lists. Everybody who listens to the show knows that I love lists. So today I've got a couple lists today. One is that Netherworld is among the top 10 American haunted houses here in Atlanta. It's October, so we had to do a Halloween story.
There's a lot of talk about the haunted house scene, which really heats up this time of year, obviously. But yeah, I was reading that too, that this Netherworld place is like one of the best in the country.
I know, top 10 in the country. So I'm kind of a little bit of a chicken, I'm not gonna lie.
I know, that scared me just reading that.
I know. Now, have you ever done a haunted house?
I did my first one last year.
And was it?
It was not that scary. It was more fun than scary, to be honest with you.
Okay. How about you, Minna?
Actually, I don't go myself. I sent my kids because I'm too scared.
Yeah, I think I'm a little scared too. I don't like the idea of possibly something jumping out when I'm not prepared for it, or any kind of ooze. I'm not really excited about ooze of any kind.
A zombie grabbing me.
With gooey hands and germs. And yeah, I don't know. However, Netherworld is supposed to be one of the top 10. So I'm almost thinking I might have to check it out. Now, if you have not heard of it, I believe it is in Gwinnett. Is that right? I think Norcross, I want to say.
In that general area. That's what.
I say Google Netherworld Atlanta and you will find it. Okay. That's one of our lists. What you have a comment there, Miss Elizabeth? Are you just laughing at me?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to scare our listeners.
I know. Let's not. Let's keep it simple this morning. Okay. So you missed last week's show, Elizabeth, but hopefully the listeners didn't, where we talked about Atlanta being the fifth dirtiest city in the country, according to Travel and Leisure magazine or something like that. However, this week we were named number 16 on the best cities in America. So I am going to conclude from that people like trash.
That's clearly just
average 10, so we could.
Yeah.
But does it actually mean to be the dirtiest city?
Well, we talked about it in detail last week, and I think it had to do with, they said it wasn't just the downtown area. It was a comment on the whole area. And I think it has to do with smoking outside and cigarette butts on the ground and sort of trash and whatever. And in fact, Dan from Central Atlanta Progress was my fill-in co-host last week, and he was very irritated by that thing because they make a really concerted effort to clean up downtown. But the problem was the survey was the whole greater Atlanta area. So downtown kind of takes the blame, but it wasn't actually downtown that it was referring to. And they did say in the survey that the new ban on smoking in public parks will probably help our standing next year. So And they made a comment that people who thought the city was dirty liked our sloppy, messy barbecue, randomly. Well. And our quote-unquote...
Maybe. That's just part of our charm.
That's right. And quote-unquote our genteel shopping. So we didn't know what that meant. However, apparently people like trash and cigarette butts and dirt because we are 16th best city in America. And I think New York is on there too, and it's also the dirtiest, I think. So, whatever. I like dirt. I'm all for it. Okay. Dunkin' Donuts did a survey and revealed the most coffee-dependent professions in the country.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Do you think it's radio show hosts by any chance? No, it's not. Okay. It should be, though, because I am extremely addicted. Oh, we are kind of on here, but I'll get to that. Anyone want to take a guess at the number one most coffee-dependent profession? Minna? Do you have a guess?
I would say maybe investment community.
Interesting. Okay.
Truck drivers.
Oh, also a good one.
Late night security guard.
Very. You guys are good, though you're not good enough. number one, food preparation and service workers, which I think is just because they have access to the coffee. Don't you?
Exactly. That's right.
Right there.
Makes sense.
Behind
okay.
The bar,
number two, well. Believe it or not, scientists. So they're discovering things, and they are completely hyped up on caffeine while they're doing it. I don't know. It's a little bit scary. Sales reps come in at number three. Marketing and PR professionals at number four. Nurses at number five. They should be number one, I think. Nurses work really long hours.
Right. And the 24-hour shift.
Right. So. I have a sister that's a nurse. She's always exhausted. Poor thing. Here we are, number six. Editors, writers, and media workers.
Uh-huh.
I think that's us. You guys come in at number seven, business executives. Number eight, teachers and instructors. Number nine, engineering technicians and support. And number 10, IT managers, network administrators. Now, while we're talking about what people drink on the job, I would like to see that list compared to the biggest, you know, drinkers of alcohol. Maybe not on the job, but like after work
after
to de-stress. Like, who needs the de-stressing 5 o'clock drink the most on this list? I wonder if there's a correlation. Just curious.
Yeah, but it was only about coffee. What about tea? Tea drinkers.
That's true.
Because tea has actually more caffeine than coffee.
That is true.
Well, some.
I think, what if you just put like the word green in front of all of these and then you get your tea drinker? So like green food prep people drink tea and green scientists drink tea and, you know, green PR people, you know, just a thought. Okay. Quick headline, Atlanta Dream, the basketball team, names a new CEO this week. Ashley Presinger, I think is how you say it, described as a philanthropist, I think, and former client development and marketing person for Homrick Berg Wealth Management
Firm.
Yeah. So just thought that was worth note. I think the Dream has been trying really hard. There's been a lot of shakeups over there with coaching.
Well, since Kathy Betty left, yeah, I think they've had...
Yeah, a lot of changes. They're just trying to find the right...
Who's the right leader for the next stage? Because they've done so much already in really making it a legitimate professional sport here in Atlanta with a huge following.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Good luck, Ashley.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that it's a woman in charge. I mean, we loved Pete. Pete Canaleccio was the CEO. We have a tie to him through Atlanta Business Radio X.
Business Radio X family.
Yeah, so we love Pete, and we wish him the best, and I'm sure he did great things in the year that he was there and took them to new places, and now it's time for somebody else to step in, and it's kind of exciting that it's a woman, so let's see what she does.
Absolutely. Go girl.
Go girl.
And then since Brazil, we're going to talk about Brazil later, there are two Brazilian players on Atlanta Dream.
Oh.
Dream Atlanta.
I did not know that.
We're
very exciting.
Over.
Brazilians are taking over.
Yes.
One radio show at a time. And one sports team at a time. I forgot to mention while I was on lists, Elizabeth, that Georgia is the 14th state for ultra high net worth individuals.
I saw that one as well.
And the article that I read about this, you guys, first of all, we're talking about like big, big money people.
What was it? 30 million?
30 million or more net worth. Now, they divided this article into Republicans and Democrats for some reason. You know, red states and blue states.
Right.
And so we were 14th overall, but actually second because we're a red state. So we were second among the red states, which is behind only Texas. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Just saying. I'm not going to give my opinion. But I will say this. Of the 1,110 individuals in the state of Georgia who have more than $30 million, if any of them are men and even remotely good looking, I will give my number out at the end of the show. Just saying.
Dana.
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
Sorry, I'm taken, so.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, it is what it is. And then on top of that, if any of them want to come on Business Radio X, give us a call. Or go to businessradiox.com and send us an email. If that actually happens, I will crack up laughing. But there you go. And going from the very, very rich to the very, very poor or the very, very scammy, there's been a new, I don't know if it's an ordinance. I think it's an ordinance passed about panhandling.
Right. Well, that's been going on for a while.
Yes, but it finally passed. So I guess the deal is that, and this, I never thought about this as a career path, but I guess there are some people that are not quite as bad off as one might think that are going out on the streets and looking like they're, you know, needy, homeless, whatever, and panhandling for money and actually sort of making a living out of it. So I might have to try that if this radio thing does not work out.
But have to say
no,
that there's
you
so
won't, because now it's
now
illegal.
I could get arrested. That's right.
I have to say that there are so many good places around Atlanta where you can go to charities and where people can get food and dressed and all that. So I think these people will find help when they need it.
Well, I like the fact that I think
there's
the ordinance
plenty of resources for someone who's willing to reach out and make the first step in rehabilitating or getting back up on their feet.
Right. Well, you know, we the ordinance actually takes that into consideration. I think they're really not after the people that truly need help. I think they're really after the people that are taking advantage of, you know, the kindness of strangers, if you will. And so I think what they're really saying is that if they see somebody doing it and they assess the situation and determine that that is a person who really needs help, they will direct them to the proper resources. As you said, there are plenty around town. And also, I believe that even goes as far as the court. Like, even if they land in, you know, the police station for it, or they end up in the local jail and they end up in the court can do the same thing. They don't have to give them the punishment. They can just, you know, send them to the right place for help. So I think that's a good thing. And when you talk about people taking the first step, we had a guest on recently, and I forget her name, but they're renovating a property here in town, the Imperial Hotel, and turning it into a very, very upscale shelter, essentially, for people in trouble. And I hate to say homeless shelter because everyone panics and runs the other way if you say there's going to be a homeless shelter on the corner. But apparently it's a company that's done this. I think it's called National Church Residences, something like that. And they've done it in a variety of places. They're doing it here now. And she was saying, as part of the whole system here in Atlanta, they do, you don't even have to take the first step. There are people that actually canvass the streets and talk to the homeless people and help them get to the right location. So it's not even up to them to take the first step. So
that's really wonderful.
Yeah. And she talked about doing that. She talked about getting out on the streets with them, with the people that do that, and how incredible it is. Cause I would be terrified. I'm not going to lie. Anyway. Okay. Moving from the super serious.
Such a great city. All that we're doing.
I know. 16th best.
16th best.
Just saying. Okay. So speaking of which, there's...
And climbing, quickly.
That's right. Are we running for something? We should be running for something.
I vote for you.
See? Look at that. We've got one vote. Can you even vote?
I can,
okay.
Yeah.
Just checking. You know, when you have an accent, you never know. Was that wrong?
Not for president, though. So I'm going to miss the next election.
Oh, okay. Well... That's all right. Somebody would cancel you out anyway.
The democratic spirit is that.
I know. It's terrible. I'm a cynic. What can I tell you? All right.
The big, you know, first presidential debate tonight.
Oh, you're going
to. A bit of national news. I know we're all local here. But
are you gonna
I'm
get
sure everybody's going to tune in for that.
I was going to say, you're going to get your, you know, like beer and popcorn and pull up a seat.
having a debate party at my place.
Yeah. Everybody, Elizabeth will be giving her address out at the end of the show.
Yelling at the screen.
That's right. Throwing stuff. Right.
Good times.
Two other quick stories, and then we are going to move on to our lovely guests. Did you know that there is a tax holiday for energy efficient appliances here in Georgia?
Really?
It is this weekend.
Ooh.
So if you need appliances, listeners, friends here in the studio, this is the weekend to get them. I didn't know. I knew we had tax holidays here. I thought it was just for going back to school. And I thought we were done. We've just had it a few weeks ago, I think, early September, right? And then I thought we were done. No, we're not done. We have another tax-free holiday if you buy Energy Star appliances
really?
This weekend,
so
October 5th through the 7th.
Good excuse to go home and beat the crap out of your appliances.
Right. Buy something new. Throw that washing machine right out the window and get a new one. It's all supporting the economy. And speaking of supporting the economy, there is a proposed sportsplex coming in next to Atlantic Station.
That place looks so cool.
But I wonder.
Olympic-sized pool.
Yes. What is it? Let's see.
Tennis courts.
10 basketball courts. Basketball. 11 tennis courts.
And they're using, the idea is that professional athletes would train there.
Right. So can we even use it, regular people?
I don't know, like the common folk.
Minna, are you going to go over there and play some basketball?
Of course I am. Okay. Actually, maybe not play basketball, maybe swim.
There you go.
I might be better in that.
But I don't, I'm not clear on whether it's like a membership thing or you have to be invited or what. I don't know.
It sounded very early stage.
And it does say proposed.
Right.
So yeah, this has not been approved yet.
There's no dollar amount. No. There's no, it's being funded
no.
by.
No. This could be like, a non-story no. right here, but I thought I'd mention it.
I was like looking for details.
Me too.
Who's underwriting this?
No. I just think that anything related to activity and sports and health and fitness, I mean, it always helps our community. It's a great thing. So hopefully we will see this happen.
Yeah, I think it would be awesome, especially right over there in Atlantic Station. I mean, you've got land there, and that is becoming more and more of, you know, another hub. I think it would be a cool thing.
I think it could be a cool thing. Now, you know, we've talked about Atlantic Station on this station before a couple times because we focus a lot on downtown, but we also, you know, that's pretty close right over there. We talk about Midtown sometimes and sort of the surrounding areas. And, you know, Atlantic Station's kind of gone through some changes and it didn't turn out the way it was planned and, you know, all these kinds of things. And I just wonder what that will do to the ambiance and the crowd over there. Will it make it too much traffic or will it change it in any way, or will it just be another building, or, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Right.
Actually, we are hosting EcoFest there, which is going to be November 1st weekend in November 3rd to 5th. And it's going to be a great event. There's going to be a lot of vendors and all kind of entertainment, and it's going to be great activity for families. So,
now specifically, where will it be?
It's going to be at Atlantic Station, right where the monument is underneath that park. Did you know that there is actually an area that where you can have events and all that?
I know exactly where that monument is you're talking about, but I did not know. So if you're looking at that, where's the actual event?
It's going to be, we are going to block the entire 17th Street. So there's going to be music, food, entertainment for 2 days. It's called Eco Fest. It's for families. It's wonderful. So it's going to be first weekend in November.
That is very cool. And how do people find out more information about that, Minna?
If they go and Google it, the Eco Fest Atlanta, I'm sure they will find information about that. But it will be all-day event Saturday and Sunday.
Is this something that you've done before?
No, this is the first time in Atlanta, and because Atlanta is one of those sustainable cities in the country. Did you know that?
Yes, so we talked all about that yesterday on Results Matter.
Oh, you did?
The mayor's Office of Sustainability was here.
Absolutely. So go mayor. So there's three cities, the last cities in this country, that became the most sustainable cities: Atlanta, Los Angeles, and I think it's Portland. Or Seattle, either or.
Yeah, I feel like I just heard someone say something about Portland recently. I know they're up there.
Right. Yeah. So that's why we have to bring the community and really help this city to win, to be number one, the most sustainable city in this country. So that's why we are bringing audiences to all this eco, innovation, commerce, and, you know, how all the benefits, we are focusing on benefits and celebrate eco innovation.
So the Eco Fest, I have been, they don't have it here in Atlanta, but I have been to Green Festival in some other cities around the country. Is it similar to that in terms of, you know, sort of just bringing products and vendors, and are there talks or is it just sort of a market? Or talk to me a little bit about exactly what's going to go on.
Actually, this Eco Fest is a little bit different. It's a step up from those other green events. There's going to even be green jobs that people can sign up with so that they will find a job. There's going to be companies that are looking for people, green collar jobs, as well as there's going to be banks and all that helping people to open bank accounts. And I think there is something like $150 bonuses that they can, you know, get from these vendors. So it's definitely, and then there's going to be food vendors, all organic, and also accessories. And we are also going to introduce Eco Runway, which is called Garments and Gourmet. So we are going to introduce fashion and start the Eco Runway World Tour from Atlanta. It's going to go around the world.
Very cool.
So it looks like Atlanta is going to be on your top 10 list soon about
green cities.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and I when it comes to green cities also, we have to emphasize eco, because eco
it's not just
is
green.
Absolutely.
So what? Explain the difference.
Well, if you look at the history, there is, when it comes to technology and development, first there was green technology, then there was clean technology, and the next step is eco-innovation. And when it comes to sustainability, a lot of people don't understand what sustainability really means. But if you tie in eco-innovation into sustainability and your projects, you need tools and technologies to reach your goals in sustainability, and that's when eco-innovation steps in.
Okay. So it's not just about recycling and buying, you know, recycled goods or that kind of thing. It's more.
That's all good. But, you know, you have to look at something called life cycle assessment, which is the best way to be sustainable and green and eco and all that is to improve and optimize efficiencies. Anything you do, any process, if you recycle clothing or your garbage or whatever, I mean, you just have to look at how you can optimize those efficiencies.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I randomly the other day, we started talking about recycling glass. And somebody was saying that recycling glass is very expensive, glass bottles. And I was sort of like thinking back to, hearkening back, if you will, to the old days when, this is actually when I was very little and before, but when they, you know, you got your milk in a glass jar and they brought it to your door and then you put your bottles back out and they used them again. They cleaned them, hopefully, and sanitized them in some way, hopefully, and then you got your milk again. And I was thinking that that was very efficient. In the sense that, I mean, maybe not the driving to pick up and drop off the milk bottles, but in the sense that they didn't have to take the glass and melt it down and process it in a factory and start over. They just took the glass bottle and they reused it for the same freaking thing that it was originally designed for. That seems pretty efficient to me.
True, but there's new methods, there's new processes, there's new technologies that you can tie into different processes. So, yes, it is a common knowledge that the recycling glass can be expensive. But again, there's new technologies and processes that you can actually bring to market to make it affordable.
Right.
So it all depends how you look at these processes. And that's why new technology is so important. And I think also education about sustainability and these, how people can make a difference, very important.
Yeah.
Because it's not very clear to a lot of people what sustainability actually means.
Well, I think that's true. And I think just even being a good consumer is very complicated and confusing. And I think people sort of throw their hands up and say, I don't get it. I don't know what I should be doing here. Is it better to buy my soda in a glass bottle or a plastic bottle? Or does it make any difference at all? And is what the company telling me that's selling this product, are they self-serving or are they actually telling me the truth? Or this is some version of the truth. I think it all gets very confusing. And I know for myself that you try your best within the bounds of what's feasible for you. And then you throw up your hands and say, okay, well, I did my best. When we were talking with yesterday on Results Matter, we had Tom Beck in here, who is a sustainable consultant for building.
Right. Lead certification.
Right. And one of the things I think that he said that was really interesting, and I'd like to get your comments on this, is that sustainability is not just about the building, but it's about doing the building or the project or whatever it is, the product development within your budget. Because if you're having to spend so much money to try to be green, sustainable, eco-friendly, et cetera, that you go out of business, then your business wasn't sustainable and the whole thing fell apart. It's not what it was meant to be.
But from the business perspective, you have to think about the waste and the saving energy they're going to do. So those products are really, really, you have to think on the long term.
Right.
So yeah, you may have to have some initial investments at the beginning, right? But at the end, it's what you're going to waste. You're going to save on the waste and save on energy costs.
Yeah. Go ahead, Minna.
Yeah, and it's like running a profitable business. You can't sell technology or eco-innovation if it is not as efficient and less expensive than existing methods.
Right.
I think, you know, that there's a rule of thumb. If you can't meet those two requirements when it comes to price and efficiency, then there's no reason to change for new technology or...
there's not enough incentive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to think about, I mean, first comes money, then comes savings when it comes to resources and waste, and then comes profits. And environmental benefits will always follow. It's like my kids, I always say, if you do the right thing, you will reap the benefits. It's the same thing with eco-innovation and commerce. You have to do the right thing, and you will get the benefits when it comes to profits and environment.
Right.
So the Eco Chamber of Commerce is this community that's been created of all these different players, because there's so many different angles to eco and green, as we're talking about. You've got the companies, you've got the investors or venture capitalists, you've got entrepreneurs, you've got philanthropy, you've got government. Tell me, Mina, how you bring together this diverse community of leaders from all these different disciplines and are able to add value and create opportunities for them to work together and create these business opportunities out of eco ideas.
Chamber of Eco-Commerce, we are a global community. So simply what we do is we bring investors and innovators together to create partner projects when it comes to energy, water, transportation, building. So we create new projects to build energy efficient buildings. We have a major project going on with cool chain, you know, to save energy. We are introducing new urban cool chain, which is called low carbon cool chain transportation system. So it's just simply about working with innovators and investors to bring these projects together. And then bringing companies and governments to these projects, so they are public-private partnerships.
Now, it's a pretty, I guess, elite group that you've assembled. Is that the right word to use? Or, I mean, people can't just send out a proposal or it's an invitation-only kind of process. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's invitation only, but there's two ways to join us. You can propose an initiative or project, and you will find that information in our website, which is chamberofecocommerce.com. Or you can introduce new technology project, which is called technology submittal form. And if that's accepted, then we will find investors and companies and partners to invest in that company. And most of our companies come from overseas, so we bring them to Atlanta. We create new joint ventures and companies and bring them to market here. So we are creating new jobs and new companies. And we are bringing also foreign investors to the U.S. via Atlanta.
So how did this end up in Atlanta? Because it was your creation and you were here? Or is there a reason that Atlanta was sort of the hub of all of this?
It's actually the reason why we ended up here in Atlanta, selfish reasons. I told to our leadership team that I'm not moving to New York or Silicon Valley, because we are building Atlanta as the global hub for eco-commerce. And our European partners agreed, and that's how we got started here in Atlanta. So we started in 2009, and we have expanded. We have brought great companies here, great projects. And the hobby is taking off.
Yeah. And when you talk about the kind of projects that people submit and the ways that they sort of become a part of this, can the projects be anywhere? Can they be working out of anywhere? Can they be creating jobs anywhere? Or is it focused on particular countries or here? Or explain more about that.
Yes. Our first priority, of course, is to create jobs in Georgia.
Okay.
Because we are located in Atlanta. But our projects are in Europe, they are in China, in India, in Singapore, in South America, in Africa. But we control all those projects and initiatives from our Atlanta hub.
Gotcha.
So, but of course, because the global hub is here in Atlanta, Everything is focused when it comes to job creation and all that in Georgia first.
What kind of projects are investors looking for these days? What do VCs think there's a lot of money to be made in terms of eco-innovation?
For example, we have very exciting project which is related to transportation. Of course, Atlanta is a major transportation hub. So we have this low-carbon cool chain transport system and low-carbon initiative that investors are looking because everybody have to agree that we have to reduce energy usage and come up with new sources. And the best way to deal with any kind of energy crisis or shortage is to reduce consumption. That's the first thing, and that's what our initiative is all about. And if you think about transportation of food and perishables and pharmaceuticals, it all requires cool chain, and it's a major energy. You know, you need a lot of energy to transport those products, and that's why we have to reduce the consumption first and come up with the alternative methods. And that's what, so there is, and of course we have building projects, we have energy projects, there is some solar projects we are looking right now bringing to Atlanta, as well as materials companies, new building materials. Those are the kind of projects we are involved with. And our investors are very excited about them.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
I love it.
It's like my brain is sort of swimming in all this. It's like so much to take in, you know. I didn't know a lot of that stuff was happening here. So I think it's great that you're here helping get the word out.
And let me tell you also what's very exciting. There is, you know that there's food shortage around the world.
Sure.
So food security, we call it Food Security Initiative. And so we are building these new buildings, which are called vertical farms. So we are bringing this technology now to all the major cities around the world, where you can now grow your food locally in these vertical farms.
Wow, I'd love to see what that looks like.
It's exciting. And all new kind of designs for parking garages, which are fully automated. So it reduces a lot of energy usage, as well as warehouse systems. So we have a lot of exciting projects.
So we could probably have you on every
those
week.
Those automated parking garages are so cool. I saw some of them in Singapore. And
explain that. Like, how does it work?
I mean, you drive in a slot, and basically then they slot your car wherever.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's the bomb.
I have to just say, I hate our parking garage here, and you drive around in circles, and you're using all that gas driving around in circles,
it's
disgusting and annoying, and I want one of those here. Can we get one, Minna, please?
Yes, we are in process of, yes, and also, if you think about insurance, the most accidents happen in those, so we can also reduce, besides reducing energy usage, we can also reduce cost of insurance, because these parking garages, like in Singapore, we have actually more efficient design now. We have three-layer circumference automated building system that we are introducing worldwide. When these parking garages in Singapore, they are only one. So we have patent family right now. We are launching with this three circumference building system. It's very exciting.
I wish I had money. I would love to invest in that. I think
seriously,
that's,
because parking is like the best business, but now like
but now it's like efficient parking,
eco parking,
and who wouldn't park there?
Has all the
I'm like I want to park there. I pay more.
I'll invite you to our first parking facility that we will establish in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I will invite you to test it.
Excellent.
We're there.
I want to like videotape the first test, like the first car going in there and going into the slot. And I have a cute little car too, so it'll be really cute. We'll do it. All right. Awesome.
All right. I want to switch gears here.
Sorry, I got excited.
A little bit of time with William and find
Wilson.
Wilson.
We got his last name exactly perfect, and then we blew it on his first name. That's what we do here. That's how we roll.
Wilson, give us an overview of Advanced Global Partners and your work there.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. It's been a pleasure to be in. And as a part of the World Trade Center Atlanta, it's one of the benefits of being a member there is like how they take your company to other to put your company out there.
So get some exposure.
Yeah, exposure, exactly.
Yep.
So, and then, my company is, it's exactly what we're doing here. And then before the show, I was talking to Mina, and then my company is about a partnership. It's about finding partners on both, specialize in Brazil, and then taking companies from anywhere in the world to go to Brazil. I'm based in Atlanta for one reason. The amount of opportunities, amount of companies that want to go to Brazil, as you know, Brazil is a big boom economy, is one of the emerging markets. And then it's impressive how people, they don't have the knowledge, they don't know how to do business there. It's a very challenge market. It's not an easy market. They have some labor laws, some taxes, and then some unique characteristics of, in the country that you need to have a good partner on that side to make sure your product or your service is successful there.
But what kind of companies are willing to sort of tackle all of that and work and do work out of Brazil?
It's interesting. Any type of company, the mix of clients and the partners that we've been talking to, it ranged from construction companies.
Okay.
Three of them are building material, and three of them are, I was talking to Mina, are green products they want to sell there. And then because Brazil just had the Rio Plus 20, the eco environmentally.
Right, that was a huge
sustainability
thing.
Fair on an meeting in Brazil in July. So it's we have building construction, I have management consulting companies that want to go to Brazil. IT software, telecommunication companies that want to go there. So it's a wide open. Brazil has a huge middle class that it just raised in the past 10 years. So there are people to buy products and services. Oil and gas is a big hit there. So, and it's not only the oil and gas industry itself, it's all the services and products around that industry.
Interesting.
So, I mean, a lot of talk about Brazil the last couple of years and the huge growth going on in that area, and obviously with the World Cup coming 2014, you've got Rio 2016. I want to give you, I mean, not all of our listeners I think are as informed about all of what's going on in Brazil. Wilson, give us kind of a sense of, you know, the growth that has taken place there recently and the opportunity that exists.
Yeah, this year is not a big growth expected by the economists. They are talking about maybe 2% for this year. But the event, the impact on the socio-economical impact that those two events that we have the next 2 and 4 years, it is huge for economy. I am even writing an article right now that even people talking about the World Cup and then the Olympic Games, and São Paulo is also competing against Dubai to be to host the World Expo in 2020, which is going to be a major event as well. But it's what I want to have the business, the executives that want to go to Brazil, they don't think only on those two events. We need to think about the long term, the legacy that those events will leave, have for the country. The economy there, we're talking about in about 10, 15 years, Brazil will be probably number three in oil production, and then most likely will be number four in economic size, so in GDP. So
right.
the opportunities are everywhere: infrastructure, services, the retail, e-commerce is a huge, huge thing in Brazil. So last year, e-commerce grew about 300%. So retail, if you get companies or groups from Europe and U.S., they are investing money on retail industry in Brazil.
That's that growing middle class, right?
Exactly.
The increased purchase power.
Yeah, people didn't have money to buy a TV or refrigerator, so, you know, get the tax-free incentive that we talked earlier. But now people have money to buy the TV, to buy a small car, but they have money to buy that. And that whole thing, it builds the economy. And the country, it's ready to receive new investment, is ready to receive new new products. There are a lot of good incentives from the government for companies to start producing there. But it's also, if you talk about service, is a big, big gap that Brazil needs. And then companies from U.S., we are our excellence in service has a big, big niche in that area.
So let's talk a little bit more about the dynamics of the market. As Dana said, looking at entering into a new market, a new country, is always intimidating. And obviously, you don't know the rules, you don't know the culture, you don't have the right friends. What do you guys do at Advanced Global Partners to help companies overcome some of these barriers to entry and take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, the question number one is when we ask a client, so it's why you want to go to Brazil. It's not because only the economy. I was at Bloomberg on an emerging market boot camp last week, and then it was Brazil, China, Russia, and South Africa, and then the India, the Africa continent also. Everybody talking about, by far, Brazil was the big target. But I ask every time I ask my clients, why do you want to go to Brazil? It's not because of the economy. Is your product ready there? Is your product going to sell in Brazil? That's the type of assessment we do. We do a market assessment, help them to understand, is there a fit for your product in Brazil? Because I can guarantee you there are some clients and some products that will not sell in Brazil. Okay, and right. then that's what we do. We help them to understand the market, and then we help. And then I used to say that I have I'm a locksmith in Brazil. I have the right key to open some doors. And it's not only to make the companies understand the market, but to avoid the challenge and the risks that we know. We've been there. We heard from other companies that had a mistake. Just an idea. You talk about challenge, language barriers. If you go to Brazil on tourism in the next couple of weeks or whatever, you are not going to find some restaurants with English menus. So language barrier is a big thing. So you have to know that that's what we do. My partners in Brazil, my partners in the U.S., we know we have the good connections in several different industries that can open doors and sell your products and help to establish that market there and define the right strategy how to enter, if it's a joint venture or if it's a acquisition or is a partnership or is just start a greenfield project. That's how the company we do.
See, Chamber of Eco-Commerce, because we have our global hub here in Atlanta, what we do is we invite these partners. We have hubs around the world. So Chamber of Eco-Commerce hub is in Beijing, it's in Helsinki, London, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and so forth. So basically what we do is we make it very easy for companies to get involved in those markets if they have products or services that they want to promote. We have people in those places, so we can send people from Atlanta, executives or business owners, to those hubs, and they can trust because they are our people who are there helping them, because you need local people. In China, you need Chinese partners, local partners. It's all about trust. When you go to, and when it comes to all these big export programs or whatever, they are great when it comes to learning, but when it comes to then local contacts and advisory and business help and whatever, you have to have your people in those places, because every single economic development agency from around the world, whether it's from Finland or Germany or US or Georgia or Brazil or whatever, if they go to Beijing and China or Shanghai, they are competing in the same marketplace.
Sure.
So you have to create a niche, and really, you know, how are you going to go through all that, how you can leverage your own contacts in those, we have created that network.
And knowing the right people there, and then it's key to be successful. And then I can tell you the relationship building, the knock on the door, cold call will not work in Brazil. You need to know where to go and how to reach the right people. We have examples in previous companies that we have associated with. Clients that have a sales rep in Brazil that have been there for like 2 years and they sold almost nothing.
Yeah.
So, and living a perfect life, you know, all the expenses paid and expat. So that's.
I would do that. I would go there and not sell anything for 2 years and get paid to do it. I could do that.
So
I'd be very good at that.
What we do. We help them to have a good strategy and market entry plan, and then not only set the plan, but help them to execute the plan and make sure we guide the company from the planning to sell their first product or open their first store and a franchise, which is also a big, big, big business in Brazil's franchise, because the Brazilian now has money to invest in their own business.
Yeah.
You know, and
so
then
you're seeing more entrepreneurship.
Exactly. There's a big entrepreneurship trend in Brazil, especially in franchise, because the risk of a franchise going down is 85% against that. You start your own business, you know, all the marketing and everything, it's about 15% rate to success. So in a franchise, it's like 85%.
But also you have to remember when you go to international market that a global marketplace, when you want to participate, you have to understand it's very expensive for a company to go abroad and participate in the global marketplace. So that's why you have to be a smart executive thinking, how can we leverage those contacts that already exist in those countries and cut costs? Because you can burn so much money just trying to introduce one little thing. And then there's, of course, a lot of regulation, and there's a lot of things that are very expensive for small, especially for SMEs.
And it doesn't matter if you are big or small. Walmart had a little problem with the Brazilian FDA a couple months ago, and then they could not get approval to sell their pharmaceutical products. So, and then even it's a FDA, if it's a big company like Walmart. So you have to have the right people. So, and then that's the type of work. And then what Mina said, it's you need to know exactly where you're stepping on. And then if you have a good guidance, you will spend a lot less money instead of just, I'm going by my own and open my door. So that's critical for success.
And also it's very important to understand how to leverage public-private partnerships in those places, because, again, there's regulation. And if you understand and know those people who can influence those decisions, then you can overcome a lot of many barriers in those countries, and you don't have to spend a lot of money and time getting into market.
And then, Wilson, when you have a company come to you and it's not a fit, it's just not right for them, their product isn't going to sell in Brazil, or the company's not at a stage where they're really ready to spend the kind of money they'll need to spend, do you direct them to other countries, or do you help them come up with a plan to get ready, or how does that work?
It's a mix. And then it's not saying that I reject new clients, but I have
that'd
one.
That'd be sad. Yeah, if I came and you were just like, now.
I have one vision for the company that whoever is partnered with me, and then I call my clients partners.
Sure.
And then, you know, whoever, it has to be a win-win situation. If a company is not ready, you know, that's a part of the assessment we give. So, you know, not ready financially, or your product's not ready to Brazil. However, it's a matter of maybe I'm not helping you today, but we can set the path to help you in the future.
Gotcha.
And then there's one company we've been talking about. So, well, maybe Brazil is not the right one. And then they ask, what about other countries in Latin America, which are booming? If you talk about Chile, very stable, very strong economy. If you talk about Peru, is an underdog in Latin America. So, and then we have connections also there. So then they say, you know, it might be a better place for you to start selling a product, to understand the market. And then from there, you grow to other countries.
Interesting.
Awesome. Wilson, are you going to the World Cup?
You know,
we were talking about it last night.
Well,
some of my friends, I know a lot of people that are planning on going to the World Cup.
I can tell it will be very, very hard to get tickets. But if I can, my sister lives.
Well,
like
I'm just thinking, you have all these connections and relationships.
I told my sister
there,
I'm gonna rent her apartment, so then she may make a little bit of money on Olympic Games and the World Cup. But I'll try.
We better be friends with him now.
I know,
because,
right?
We all are.
But can I get you a cup of coffee or anything, Wilson?
No, I'm good. But, you know, just having me here is fantastic. And then if this being a business radio, and then me being a partnership company, the just 5 minutes that I met Mina outside, we're going to meet next week and talk about how we can leverage our resources and leverage our knowledge to, say, make sure we can do business together in Brazil in different with the Echo and me with the business.
Well, I'm glad you guys figured that out, because just listening to the two of you talk, I was thinking you guys probably have a lot of things you need to talk about together beyond the show. So
absolutely.
I'm glad that worked out. We're almost out of time, but I do want to make sure that we get contact information for both of you. If there's people want to find out more about the Chamber of Eco-Commerce, where would they go?
They would go to our website, chamberofecocommerce.com.
That's easy enough.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to remind EcoFest in Atlantic Station, first weekend in November, November 3rd to 5th. We are still looking for sponsors, actually selecting qualified sponsors. So if there is any interest, please contact us.
And Google that, EcoFest Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Okay. And Wilson, how about you?
We have a website also. It's been completely remodeled. In the next month, maybe I'm going to have a brand new website, but the address is advancedgp.com or advancedglobalpartners.com. And then also want to put that in November 28th, we're going to have Atlanta Rio Sister City event here at the World Trade Center. I'm going to speak in here. I'm going to speak in Savannah as well with the World Trade Center there. So there's a lot of big things coming up in the lineup for us.
And if people want to know about some of those WTC programs, should they just go to the World Trade Center website? Is that the way to find out about that?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Awesome.
Perfect. Yep. That's WTCAtlanta.com. And of course, another big thank you to Lily Apostolati, the Director of International Services and Membership over at the World Trade Center Atlanta. We all love her.
We do.
We do. Definitely. And Lilia is a very special lady.
I have to tell, tomorrow we have the Governors International Award, and my company was nominated as a new company of the year.
I'm very excited
for that. So let's see. I'm cross fingers to see if we're going to win the
Do you have your speech prepared?
I do have. Excellent. My wife said, oh my gosh, it's going to be like an Oscar award.
That's right.
Said,
that's very exciting.
Maybe.
It's close. It's almost like the Oscars. It's very, it's like one step down from the Oscars.
Exactly.
That is fantastic.
That's
congratulations.
Yeah.
It's an honor
just to
be
nominated.
Running
that's
for
right.
that. Very, very cool. All right, Dana, I think that about wraps us up for today.
I think so.
So, once again, you've been listening to Good Morning Atlanta here, sponsored by the World Trade Center Atlanta and a proud 2012 partner of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more at centralatlantaprogress.com. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And I'm Dana Barrett, and we will see you next week. But in the meantime, stay tuned for Southern Hospitality coming up next on businessradiox.com.